Opinionated Marketers,
a podcast from Cambridge Marketing College.
Welcome to Opinionated Marketers. This week, Charles and I are highly intrigued by messages that you possibly don't mean to send about your brand and why this really matters. So, Charles, we were talking beforehand. You mentioned Strand cigarettes.
Oh, gosh, yes, right. Well, the point, I think, is twofold. One is the unintended consequences of some marketing positions. Strand cigarettes was a classic case many, many years ago where the picture of a gentleman smoking by himself on the Strand, you're never alone with a Strand, unfortunately backfired because it did have the implications that you would be alone if you were smoking this particular brand, and the result of which was that it wasn't particularly popular. Similarly, one of the folklores of marketing is that you never picture your brand or your product in connotation with a dinosaur, because the implication is not a good one. So the element of unintended consequences is one that you've got to be aware of, especially in today's world where there are so many interpretations available to commentators, whether they be professional commentators or indeed social media commentators. And I think you had a couple of interesting examples of politicians, of what they actually responded to questions they weren't asked.
Yes, there's the absolute classic one from President Nixon where he was asked a question and the response he said was, "I have not lied," or "I am not a liar." And the question didn't use the word liar or imply lying, but it said something psychologically about him that was in his head. It was a very interesting article in, I think it was the Daily Mail this week, by John Humphreys, veteran BBC commentator, talking about that and saying that was actually one of the final ends of the Nixon presidency. It's the one that's often referred to. And he was linking it to Boris Johnson at COP this week, responding to a different question with the answer, "We are not a corrupt country," suggesting psychologically that's what was in his head. But it was also possibly, again, back to your idea of don't have a brand with a dinosaur. It's the unintended consequences of something that you've said, which then gets picked up.
Yes, the interpretation, of course, of all sorts of things can be positive as well. I mean, we've just seen that Shell wants to move its head office from Holland to the UK, and the result of which is the Royal Dutch nomenclature has got to be dropped. How many people realised that it was actually a combination of Royal Dutch Oil Company and Shell that made the company? So the royal aspect has to be dropped by just the legal move. So we have some consequences of our actions and our branding, which were not always those which we perceive. And what does that mean to people's perceptions? I mean, we talk at the moment about greenwashing an awful lot. And then the first response to a large number of marketing agencies when asked the question about how do we make ourselves greener was to actually turn the logo green, or to put some green colouring on various aspects. And that, of course, is exactly the problem. You know, it's not a change at the heart. And I think we do need to understand clearly what it actually means when we make a change or a statement about an organisation, that it means a fundamental issue, not just a superficial one.
I think there is always a danger with these things that it seems to be black and white. You are a bad company, Shell, BP, or you are a good company, Patagonia. And actually, the world doesn't work like that. We're all working towards things, wanting to make changes, wanting to make things happen.
That's a very interesting point. The element that you're saying, I totally agree with. I think there has to be more than symbolism, though, and that symbolism, but also has to be reflected within the symbolism. So, for example, you quite rightly quote those companies, some of which seem to be good, some of which seem to be bad. But in nearly every company, there is a bad element to it, because we all have a carbon footprint. And so we want to reduce that. So the actions that we take need to be shown and communicated rather than just logoed. And I think that is the important message here, which is, you know, don't just make a statement, show an action. So if you quote Boris Johnson, if the government passes a legislation that says consultancy is outlawed for MPs, that is an action which would have merit and would back up any rhetoric. Similarly, if we were to look at the way in which an organisation, whether it's Shell or whatever, should split itself between its carbon footprint side and its renewables, then that's an action. And that action would need to be in some element that might be either a change of name, a change of logo, but the two need to be shown together, and I think they need to be explained. And that's really, I think, what the biggest message is, that actions need to be followed up by messages, and messages need to actually be followed by actions. I mean, I remember talking Smiths on the high street, spent an awful lot of time on doing what was then known as CSR work, but never told anybody. It came out in one of the CIM's case studies. And you know, in the old days, there used to be the argument, well, why do I need to tell anybody? You know, those people who are concerned would understand and know about it. But now, of course, we're not in that agenda. We're in the point at which you have to talk about it. Otherwise, people won't know unless they're directly involved. The point that we're both talking about is that the world looks more intensely at these things these days because it doesn't trust companies, and trust has been lost. And I think that's an important aspect too.
I think trust has been lost all over the place, though, hasn't it? We no longer seem to trust government. We no longer seem to trust companies. There's some element of influencers having trust, but trust is a very interesting emotion that seems to ebb and flow far more strongly than it used to.
There's some very interesting work in by Pew Research out of America about three or four months ago, which was about the levels of trust on various institutions. And politicians don't come that low down as you'd expect, interestingly enough. Probably lower than they would like, but doctors and others still have very high levels of trust. But companies, interestingly enough, vary greatly. And from our perspective as marketers, we need to work very hard to retain trust.
One of the ways we do that is by being careful with our optics and what we say and what we are showing ourselves to be doing, and being transparent.
I think transparency is an interesting aspect, but most people, I have difficulty, I don't know about most people, I have difficulty with the word transparent. To what degree do I expect to see the internal workings of an organisation? And to what degree am I interested in seeing the internal workings of an organisation? What I don't want is lies or obfuscation in the communications that I get. What I want is honesty. That other phrase, which is often bandied around, authenticity, which is another hard-to-work-out word in terms of what it means for a company. But I would come back to honesty as the prime thing.
Great stuff. Good to debate with you as ever, Charles.
Thank you very much, Kieran. Bye-bye.
Like and subscribe to this feed for more podcast content.
From Cambridge Marketing College.